And hello, everybody. Welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight in studio, we have Dr. Ruth Schwartz and Dr. Michelle Marin, life partners and co-founders of Conscious Girlfriend. Conscious Girlfriend helps women love women better. Whether you're healing from a breakup, navigating dating, or struggling in a relationship, or simply wanting to take your connection deeper, they can help. Hello, doctors.
Hi. Hello.
Yeah.
Thank you so
much. Hello, Michelle.
Yeah, thanks. It's great to be here.
And hello, Ruth.
Ruth.
Hi, Sheridan and Diana. Thank you so much.
For anyone who's listened to Living Proof all these years, I think we've been on the air for 8 years now, Di.
Yeah. Sounds good, Cher.
You know that relationship building is right up our alley. Hence the name Living Proof, because we're Living Proof being together 36 years. We are very curious to speak with Michelle and Ruth and to find out who they are and what they offer. But first, here's news with Outbeat member and tonight's engineer, Greg Moralia.
I have found Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
Good evening, this is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for this Sunday, May 4th, 2014. LGBT people in Crimea are now subject to Russia's so-called gay propaganda law, as authorities in the Crimean Peninsula annexed by Russia in February canceled this year's Pride Parade in accordance with the newly effective legislation, which bans propaganda of non-traditional sexual relationships to minors. The march was scheduled to take place April 22nd and 23rd in Sevastopol, a port city that is home to the Russian Black Sea Fleet. Vitaly Milonov, a Russian politician who co-authored the gay propaganda law for the city of St. Petersburg, upon which Russia's law is based, is calling for a more drastic measure that will eradicate the experimental practice of sodomy in Crimea, including the creation of a morality police, censorship of social media, and the closure of LGBT clubs and organizations. For LGBT Crimeans, the situation has gone from bad to worse since the annexation. Maxim Kornilov, a 29-year-old employee of a cultural exchange organization, told NBC News that he would flee to Turkey as soon as financially possible. He said, "Before Russian occupation, it was really complicated to be gay in Ukraine. That's why I'm still in the closet and feel trapped. It's now absolutely unbearable," end quote. And here in the U.S., Vice President Joe Biden's remark this week to the Huffington Post that there's, quote, no downside to a presidential executive order banning anti-LGBT discrimination by federal contractors has some observers wondering if he's once again a harbinger of that position shift by President Obama. Activists have urged the president to issue such an order, saying it would provide protection to a large population of LGBT workers, all of those working for companies doing business with a federal government agency. The president has resisted so far, saying the legislative route is the better way to go, and the vice president agreed that legislation is preferable as it would cover a larger number of workers. But in saying there's nothing to lose with an executive order, he may be dropping hints that the president is about to sign one. And here in California, the state Senate passed SB 1306, a bill that would remove the state family code language that marriage must be between a man and a woman. It would substitute gender-neutral language, define marriage as a personal relationship arising from a civil contract between two persons, and remove limits on the state's recognition of the validity of same-sex marriages performed outside of California. Senator Mark Leno of San Francisco said, "All the bill does is bring our family code section up to date to comply with those two court decisions." He added, "The sky didn't fall, civilization as we know it didn't end when gay marriages began." And as we reported last week here in Sonoma County Pride 2014 will take place on the weekend of May 31st through June 1st in Guerneville, and for the first time in Sonoma County Pride history, same-sex couples will be able to marry legally at Pride. A valid marriage license is required if couples desire to truly make this ceremony legal. And this year's interfaith service will be held at Thanksgiving Lutheran Church in Santa Rosa at 7 p.m. on Sunday, June 1st. To learn more, go to SonomaCountyPride.org. And be sure to stay connected with our website at OutbeatNews.com for all of your 2014 Pride celebration information for here in Sonoma, Napa, and San Francisco. Now here's your calendar of events for the coming week. On Monday, May 5th at 5:30 p.m., the Petaluma Health Center will host an LGBT support group at 1179 North McDowell Boulevard in Petaluma. And on Tuesday, May 6th at 10 a.m., the Napa LGBT Older Adults Discussion Group will gather at the Queen of the Valley Medical Center, 3448 Villa Lane in Napa. And also on Tuesday at 6:30 p.m., the Transgender North Bay Group will meet at the Positive Images Center, 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa. And on Wednesday, May 7th at 5 p.m., Spectrum's Youth Support Group will gather at the Spectrum LGBT Center, 30 North San Pedro Road in San Rafael. And on Thursday, May 8th at 7:30 p.m., PFLAG will meet at the Westminster Presbyterian Church, 240 Tiburon Boulevard in Mill Valley. And finally, on Saturday, May 10th at 7 p.m., the Russian River Sisters will host Rainbow Connection Bingo, a benefit for Sonoma County Pride, at the Veterans Memorial Hall in Guerneville. You must be 18 to attend, and tickets are available now at www.rrsisters.org. And for more information about local LGBT events happening here in the North Bay, go to gaysonoma.com. If you have news or an event you'd like to share with our listeners, be sure to tell us about it by going to our own website at outbeatnews.com. Follow us all week long on Facebook and Twitter for the latest LGBT news and information from here in the North Bay and beyond. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moralia. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Greer.
Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
And if you just joined us, this is Living Proof with Diana and Sheridan. And we're in studio this evening with Ruth Schwartz and Michelle Moraine, co-founders and life partners of Conscious Girlfriend.
Hello.
Hi again.
So tell us, because the audience, I know they like on the edge of their seats, like waiting. What is this Conscious Girlfriend? What is it?
Well, thank you so much for asking. Conscious Girlfriend is our program to provide educational resources, classes, workshops, retreats, coaching for the lesbian and queer women's community to help women have happier, healthier, more joyful, fulfilling, lasting relationships, if that's what they want to have.
And when you say happier, you're implying that women don't have happy relationships?
Well, it's it's funny. You know, one person said to me, you know, well, my relationship was really happy last month.
Oh.
So, You know, I think one thing, just jumping right into it, one thing that we've seen and experienced ourselves in our own relationship lives and seen a lot in the community is that often when two women come together, we have just an amazing, magical, powerful, rich, deep connection at first. And then at some point, we start dealing with our stuff comes up. We see the ways that she's not maybe quite who we fantasized she was going to be. She might be seeing the same thing about us. And so that's what I believe is that as women, we have a tremendous sense of what intimacy can be. You know, we know what we want and we really want it. But some of us don't have the skills. We don't know how to create it and how to sustain it. And actually, you know, how would we? Because this stuff is not taught in school. And, you know, most of us did not grow up certainly seeing happy, healthy, lesbian, queer relationships all around us. Maybe we didn't even grow up seeing that level of relationship among our parents or other straight people. So, you know, it's amazing. As we just did this workshop today, it was like an all-day workshop, and it felt like we were just scratching the surface. Like each thing we talked about, we could spend another day talking about.
Say more about that. What do you mean, like scratching the surface? Because of the audience participation or
no,
not lack of knowledge?
It's the subject. I mean, there's so much to talk about in terms of being able to deepen your relationships, communicate, build intimacy, that there's many layers, right? There's the layers of getting to know ourselves better, and that's a big part of building intimacy. And then there's, you know, how you communicate and the ways in which you communicate. There's a lot there. There's a lot to talk about.
And each person has our own set of fears and you know, blocks in all of this. And so part of our work is helping people identify their fears and their blocks, but also helping them get to the desire, which ultimately is bigger than their fears and their blocks. And it's that desire that enables women to take the risks that intimacy really involves. You know, showing up and being real, as you were saying earlier, Diana, you know, being intimate, being vulnerable. And I think so many of us are scared to even do that within ourselves. You know, we sometimes don't even let ourselves know what we're feeling or sit with our feelings, or we have trouble accepting ourselves. And so then we look to somebody else thinking she's going to do it all for us. And it doesn't really work that way.
And there also are skills involved, learning to be aware of things, learning to speak neutrally, learning to listen neutrally. And yeah, so we spend time teaching those skills.
So what does that mean, neutrally? Speaking neutrally and listening neutrally? Because I've never heard that before.
That's a good question. Well, an example is, I'll give the avocado example. So, you know, I went shopping and I bought some avocados and they were a little bit overripe. And, you know, Ruth said, you know, well, aren't these a little overripe, you know? And I didn't really take it. I didn't take any offense at it. I didn't, you know, I didn't think about, I was just like, oh yeah, you know, a little bit, I'm not so great at picking avocados, right? I mean, it's there's a way in which I could have taken that as an, as like, oh my God, she's like criticizing me. She's, you know, and I could have gone into this spin, but I didn't. And Ruth could have said, wow, you never buy the right avocados, right? She was speaking, so she was speaking to me neutrally and I was listening neutrally. And
what we find is that it's these little tiny encounters that, I mean, it's obviously it's a trivial thing, but those trivial things derail many, many couples, because over time, if we're either speaking negatively to another person, to our lover, or hearing negatively, it builds this scar tissue. It builds this alienation, you know, this anger, this defensiveness, this disconnect.
Yeah, it might be trivial, but seem like it's tapping into something deeper, right? So
right.
How do you handle that in the process of your work?
Absolutely.
You go way down to the deeper levels.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We actually have a conflict. We don't even call it a conflict resolution process. We call it a conflict healing process, mm-hmm. which is called SCORE. And the steps are, you know, step one, the S is stepping back into yourself. Mm-hmm. C is connecting to yourself with compassion. The O is opening and observing more about what's going on. The R is taking responsibility for one's own feelings. And then the E is, once we've done all of that, we're empowered to have a more constructive conversation that will not rupture our sense of connection with our partner. Because so often, it's as you're saying, these tiny things, everything touches into something deeper. Mm-hmm. And, you know, certainly I know for Michelle, she had a past relationship where her partner was criticizing her all the time. So, you know, she could be walking around where anything that sounds like a hint of criticism mm-hmm. is a big trigger.
Right. Yeah.
And I can be a little bossy, you know. So I could easily fall into that pattern. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a little bit more of a dominant personality mm-hmm. than she does. And, you know, so I think we both are very mindful about how we're speaking to each other, how we're mm-hmm. hearing. You know, sometimes I say, when I said that, did that sound to you like something? Mm-hmm. You know, was that hurtful or mm-hmm. did it, you know, was I overstepping there?
And it's important, the first four steps of that are all internal, right? They're all with us inside. And, you know, so we can find out, you know, if we, you know, are really angry that there's a dirty spoon in the sink, we can realize, oh, this is really not about the spoon in the sink. It's about something else. And so investigating in that way, being curious about what's happening inside is really important.
I love SCORE. I wanted to say, wow, I love SCORE.
Could you repeat again? I was taking notes, and I'm thinking if anyone else was out there taking right. notes or right. just listening, they're probably right. forgotten.
Absolutely.
Right. Sure. So could you say it one more time?
Yeah, and it is on our website, too.
What is your website?
If you go to consciousgirlfriend.com, and click on articles, there's a bunch of articles, and there's articles about SCORE. And there's also, if you click on videos, there's a video in which we go through the whole process, and we actually give an example. I go through a terrible time I had with an ex-girlfriend, and then we talk about how it might have played out differently if I had been able to use the SCORE process.
Okay.
So S is to step back into yourself. C is to hold yourself and how you're feeling with compassion. O is to just be open to what's happening, be curious about what that feeling is about, what's going on. And R is an important step. R is take responsibility for your feelings, that they're your own. But for some people, like me, it's also relinquishing responsibility for things that are not mine. So it's both of those things. And then E is, once you've gone through those four steps, you're empowered to make a decision about how you want to deal with that thing. That's the E. Mm-hmm.
And you two created this mm-hmm. score.
Yep, mm-hmm. we did.
Based on your own process,
yeah.
your own journey together.
Exactly, exactly. We basically looked at what is it that we do when we run up against things which could become big fights or conflicts. And, you know, in previous relationships, each of us did have lots of fights and conflicts and difficulty. And then we were looking at, okay, what is it that we do differently? And how can we make it into a system that we can share with other people?
So that's how it evolved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
from bad relationships.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Yes, our own experience, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also our professional backgrounds. You know, it's a combination.
Well, let's go a little bit into your professional background. So what are they? I mean, we introduce you as Dr. Michelle Moraine and Dr. Yeah. Ruth Schwartz. So what's the doctor?
Well, I have training as a neuroscientist.
And you are Ruth. I mean, you're Michelle.
I'm Michelle. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
So I have training as a neuroscientist and did some AIDS research, actually, back in the 80s and 90s. And then in 2005, I went to seminary, to Pacific School of Religion. I also have a 20-year Buddhist practice. So I sort of combine the neuroscience and the Buddhism and the sort of seminary training. And that's sort of my combination of what I bring in the sort of conceptual sense to this to Conscious Girlfriend, as well as my experience in relationships.
Thank you, Michelle.
Mm-hmm. And my PhD is in transpersonal psychology, and I've also had a private practice as a hypnotherapist, and I do shamanic work. And my spiritual path has really been kind of the contemplative and the mystical. Connecting with the divine or with the wisest, most compassionate part of ourselves. So that's a lot of what I bring.
Hmm. Sounds like a dynamic partnership.
It is.
It's fun.
It is a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. Wow. Partnership. I'm just wanting to go into your relationship a little bit.
You say that
feel
now.
Free. No.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your relationship, how you met, how long you've been together.
I'll start. It's Michelle. We've been together for 8 years. We had our 8th anniversary just last month. We met on Craigslist.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. It's a great story. I was in seminary actually at the time, and I was meditating, and I had this ad come to my mind, kind of out of thin air, and it was like fully formed ad, and I was meditating, so I put it away. I didn't do anything with it. And then about a few days later, the ad came back, and I'm like, okay, all right, you know. So I type it in and hit submit and don't think about it much.
And so before you move on, the ad, what did it say?
Well,
it was written for me. There's no question.
Wow.
That it was written for me. And you know, Craigslist women seeking women is a little bit scary sometimes. It's not mostly really deep growth oriented, relationship oriented ads. So I very rarely looked at it, but when I did look at it from time to time, I would always put in the keyword spiritual, and that would eliminate 99% of the ads. So I did that the next day after Michelle had posted hers, and there she was, and I read the ad, and it was very long. It was very well written. It was about 6 paragraphs, 8 paragraphs long, and pretty much everything in the entire ad described me. There was only one quality that I didn't have, and she was willing to flex on that one. It was that I don't love movies as much as she does.
So what qualities did she describe that she was looking for that you remember in the ad?
She talked about somebody having spirituality at the center of their life. She talked about somebody who liked to engage in kind of rich, searching conversations about relationships and what feeds us and what doesn't. Somebody who wants to have, you know, a small footprint on the earth. She said somebody who on any trip to the beach would bring at least three books with her, one book of nonfiction, one novel, and one book of poetry. And I'm a poet. I published five books of poetry. So, and then she had a little thing about wanting to be able to have all kinds of engaging conversations, including what kinds of berries are best and why. And I just love to pick blackberries in the summer. And, you know, so it was kind of all for me.
And what did you realize when you saw that ad?
Oh, well, so as soon as I read it, I basically just had a sense of knowing that was the next person I was going to be with.
So what did you do?
So I brought her back.
I don't know how these things work. Yeah, with Craigslist. So.
She wrote me back, and then we had a little bit of an email exchange, but then quickly we met.
She said in her ad that I should, you know, or anyone who answered should be prepared to have an engaging correspondence by email before meeting. And so we immediately struck up this correspondence where we were writing to each other once or twice a day, and we started sharing all this stuff. And so we did feel like we already knew each other somewhat when we met.
Mm-hmm. We met in on a rainy day in a cafe in Oakland near Lake Merritt.
Sounded like you were very clear what kind of woman you were looking for, Michelle.
Well, it's funny. I mean, the clarity, I was clear, but the clarity was about deeper things. It was about a kind of relationship to the world, a kind of willingness to engage in deep questions, a kind of focus on growth, that sort of thing. So, yeah, I guess I did. Yeah.
So there's... Go ahead.
I think we're kind of, we were saying in the workshop that we taught today that we're relationship geeks, you know, but I think we're kind of growth geeks, you know, and there's not that many people out there that have that level of, you know, interest, fascination, commitment to just really looking at ourselves, looking at what makes a good relationship, looking at how we ourselves are getting in the way of being able to have the kind of relationship that we want. And so... I think that's what's been so amazing about being together, is that from the beginning we both were on the same page about wanting to have that exploration.
So let's talk a little bit about your past relationships that didn't work out so well.
Okay.
Because, I mean, we're gonna take a music break in about 5 minutes, so we can continue the conversation after the music break, but just as maybe a little carrot for people not to change the station when we go to music break, you know. You said that your past relationships have brought you to this work, brought you to each other, brought you to this work of conscious girlfriend. So perhaps you could speak about lessons learned and how to turn those lessons into the way you want to live now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's so many stories that we could tell. You know, I certainly had a pattern of being a caregiver in relationships. I also had a few relationships that had a lot of drama, you know, just a lot of pain that we didn't know how to handle. Quickly things would spiral, you know, and these were with people where there was really a lot of love and connection. But once things started getting deeper and our buttons got pushed, we didn't know how to make it through. So I had that kind of relationship, and I had relationships where there was a dullness after a while. You know, it started out strong, but then life got hard, and we didn't know how to keep the real aliveness between us. And then...
Yeah, I mean, I've had fewer relationships than Ruth, but I think the major crucible was an abusive relationship that I was in for 9 years, and... It really kind of, emerging from that and sort of like trying to figure out why I stayed so long and what was going on and, yeah, what happened was kind of, put me on this path. Well, I mean, I've been on the path of understanding that relationships can be a place of growth for a long time, since the beginning, I think. But I think it really propelled me, that the end of that relationship really propelled me to really search and really figure out what happened there, and what was it about what happened inside of myself that I stayed so long. Mm-hmm. So,
and we kind of feel, I because as Michelle said, I have had a lot of relationships.
Like how many?
You know, I don't know if I've counted, but, you know, six or eight, I think, that I'm drawing on in this work. But it was all in the service of science.
I love it. That's great.
You know, I think really what we like to feel is that between the two of us, we've experienced a lot of the different ways that things can go wrong. And so we've been there. We know what that's like. And we know how not to go there again. And so really the message that we're wanting to send through Conscious Girlfriend is, whatever somebody's relationship situation is, it can be different. You know, if you want to create lasting intimacy and emotional connection and vibrancy and passion that also gives you lots of space to be yourself and grow, mm-hmm. it's totally possible. It just took us a really long time to figure it out, because nobody was coming along to us and saying, here's how you do it. You know, so we're trying to speed up that learning curve for other women.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that you'd written, I know you just said five books of poetry, but mm-hmm. some between you, I think on your website it says you've written 12 books between you. Mm-hmm. So have you taken your lessons learned that you just talked about, and have you written about them? I mean, are those part of the books that you are talking about?
In one book, one of my most recent book is called Soul on Earth, A Guide to Living and Loving Your Human Life. And that mm-hmm. is a book, obviously, as you can tell from the title, that really talks about you know, this process of being human and the challenges that we face and how to grapple with it and sort of how to live a life that is peaceful and joyful given the incredible challenges that we face as human beings. Michelle's work, I think, deals with that in a whole different way.
I'm a science fiction author.
Ah.
And so my novels, there's a lot of questions about relationships and, you know, and consciousness and growth. There's a lot of that in there, but they are fiction. Lots of, you know, spaceships and stuff.
Right. Couched, it's couched in novels. But, yeah. But
are your characters gay and lesbian, or not necessarily?
Yeah,
so?
No, they're a mix. They're mm-hmm. not all gay and lesbian, but I think almost all of my protagonists are mm-hmm. are queer in one way or another. Mm-hmm. Almost all of them. But yeah, mm-hmm. there's a lot of gay and lesbian characters. A lot of women, strong women characters.
I'm just curious about your relationship. And I know wherever we go, people want to know, mm-hmm. what did you do to stay in it for so long? I mean, mm-hmm. you know, how do we, 36 years, how did you make it work? Mm-hmm. You two coming from relationships that weren't so healthy, mm-hmm. now you come together. Mm-hmm. So you saw those faces again, mm-hmm. in the relationship. So I'm looking at 8 years. So when did it start that you realized, like, oh, we can do this. We wanted to do this different, but we can do it differently. Mm-hmm. Is that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we, from the beginning, I mean, I think we really both, I remember a conversation, I think it was the second date we had. I was at you cooked me dinner and we were at the table and we were talking about relationships and that whole minefield conversation mm. and how oftentimes relationships can end up feeling like that minefield. You're walking around in a minefield. And mm. I mean, I think we were at the beginning, we were really conscious about wanting to be deliberate, I guess, and, mm-hmm. and really kind of prioritize growth. So that was really from the beginning. We've been doing it from the beginning.
I think we each had a lot of the building blocks from the beginning. We didn't have the system. You know, we hadn't named things like the SCORE process, or we have a SHARE process, which is our map for intimacy. And we have this, you know, this other way that we talk about what comes up for a lot of lesbian couples that we see, where one person wants more closeness and the other person wants more space, you know, and people get real polarized around that. So we have a way of talking about that. But yeah, we didn't have the language, but I think we just both had a commitment to looking more deeply at what happened between us. So our relationship, I mean, we've certainly had some challenges, but we've never, it's never been a minefield. You know, we don't have any stories of like our huge blow up fights because we haven't had any.
Yeah.
So, but I am in awe of the two of you, 36 years, like just to find somebody that young in your life, that early in your life, and then do that amount of growing alongside of someone is amazing to me, because I did it by, you know, switching partners over and over. But to be able to do it with one person, that's just, what an incredible journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is a good time for a music break, but thank you for that acknowledgement. We are going to play one of your favorite songs by Farron, Girl on a Road. Is there anything that you'd like to say about this song before we push play?
It's just such an amazing song. Farron is such an amazing lesbian singer-songwriter, for those who don't know her already.
And I think for both of us, you know, her music kind of was a bit of a soundtrack for certain parts of a certain part of our life.
The coming out years in
the 1980s. The coming out years, yes,
right,
totally.
Right.
So that's, yeah.
Well, thank you. Enjoy, everyone. Farron, Girl on a Road.
My mama was a waitress, my daddy a truck driver. The thing that kept their power from them slowed me down a while. I remember the morning that was the closing of my youth, when I said goodbye to no one, and in that way I faced my truth. And they walk along the river, and the rain a coming down, and a girl on that road. There's a rhythm to the highway to match the rhythm of your fears. My shopping bag possessions scattered with my splattered tears. A string of nights and truck stops, in darkness and in light. And a man they all called Tiger Boy, he just had to show me why. He just had to give me something I'd forever understand. There's a girl on that road. Sing with me. Rain upon the water makes footprints sunk in sand. Anger upon angry hurt, take me by the hand. Pull me deep inside, say I'm one with your forgiveness, and separate from my pride. I don't know what it's like for you, but here's what it's like for me. I want it to turn beautiful and serve eternity. Never follow money or love with greasy hands, or move the earth and waters just to make it fit my plans. My eyes would be the harbor, my words the perfect place for a girl on the road. I met you in the summer, I left you in the fall. In between we did some living, I like to think that's all. Now I see words can be like weapons, no matter that they're small. I used three tiny words on you and then beat it down the hall. Does this road go on forever? Does this terror know no end for a girl? Footprints sunk in sand, anger upon angry hurt. Take me by the hand, take me by the heartstrings. Pull me deep inside, and say I'm one with your forgiveness, and separate from my pride.
And if you're just listening, that was Farron, Girl on a Road. Beautiful, beautiful song that Ruth and Michelle brought to us today. Farron is one of your fans, I hear, for your Conscious Girlfriend. Is that true? Or?
She is, yeah.
She actually participated in a telesummit that we did in March, where we interviewed 11 people total on relationships, and she was very enthusiastic. You know, for anybody who knows her music, there is a lot of relationship pain and heartbreak in her songs, and she was very happy to tell us that she's enthusiastically in a long-term relationship that's been going for 8 years now, and so she talked a lot about her own healing journey and the incredible abuse she went through as a kid and as a young person, and her own process of becoming able to really let someone else in and really love someone else. So
that's a really great introduction to this next segment of our interview. How do you help people open up and let someone in? I mean, can you tell us about a little bit more about the intricacies of your workshops? I mean, if someone's listening right now, why would they want to attend your workshop?
Well, one thing to talk about just in terms of that process of opening up to love, one thing that we really concentrate on is the idea of self-compassion. That it's often that people have a hard time with accepting who they are, or they're just really sort of closed in this cycle of self-criticism and self-blame, and that releasing that and easing that through various sort of compassion practices can make a huge difference. It's true for me. It's what I went through in being open to real love, love that is respectful of who you are and really kind of really sees who you are as in the sort of realness of your life, and that's an important key to being open to that love.
And a lot of us have a lot of patterns. We work right now, I think about 65% of the women that we work with are single and 35% are in couples. And a lot of the single women who come to us have a history of finding themselves drawn to women with whom things are really not going to work. You know, so many of us come out of abusive or traumatic childhoods, and then we unconsciously find ourselves drawn to people that have those same patterns, even though that's the last thing in the world we want. And so, for instance, we've been coaching one person in the conscious dating process. We have a program that we're just developing now called Date Your Way to Lasting Love, because I think there's so much assessment that has to happen if we're usually, I mean, the two of you, I don't know how you did it, but very often it takes a really conscious, intentional process to know, okay, who am I? What are my commitments? What's going to really make it possible for me to stay intimate with someone? And then make sure that the person that you're considering getting in a relationship with has those same commitments. You know, a lot of times we just look for the surface level of compatibility, which is, you know, I like to hike, she likes to hike. You know, I like to, you know, I'm a vegetarian, she's a vegetarian, you know, whatever it is. But there's this whole other level, which is, you know, when we're sitting here together, if you're having a feeling, are you going to be able to actually tell me about your feeling in an honest, vulnerable way? And am I going to be able to hear that? And are we going to be able to grow in that way together? And so when coaching this one person, in the time that we've been coaching her, she was first dating one person, and then she realized that person was really kind of cruel and, you know, not who she was looking for. And then she was dating another person briefly, and, you know, she was realizing that it really wasn't feeling good to her. She was feeling really attracted to the person, but feeling unsafe at the same time. You know, so we were helping her look at, okay, is there a connection for you between feeling attracted and feeling unsafe, you know, and how is that going to play out down the line? And now she's just recently met another person with whom it's too early to tell, but it feels like the quality of the connection might be really different. And a lot of it has been from actually Michelle helping her really develop this self-compassion practice, which is a Buddhist practice called metta. And also from, you know, our really asking her questions, getting her to look at what she's doing and why. And that's why we call it conscious girlfriend, you know, because so much of it is about becoming more conscious. And one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about this is because, you know, I think we, a lot of us see in the lesbian community, it's easy for us to get together and it's really hard for us to break up. And so even once women find out, you know, realize that there was somebody with whom it's really not working, lesbian breakups can be so long and arduous and heartbreaking. And so to spare ourselves that pain and some, you know, the despair, the cynicism about relationships that sometimes follows, we really are on the bandwagon of, you know, choose wisely to begin with, you know, and we like to help women learn exactly what that means and how to do that.
Mm-hmm. So you have the couple that comes to you. I'm speaking couples right
now.
Mm-hmm. So you have the couples that come to you and they're intertwined in this unhealthy relationship, mm-hmm. but they really love each other, mm-hmm. but they just don't know how to do the dance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you don't know how to do the dance, or the relationship is just, this is not the partner for you.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
what about the ones that the dance is bad? They just don't know how to do it, and they're stepping uh-huh. on each other's toes.
Yeah.
How do you?
Yeah.
Well, I think part of it is, you know, teaching them that conflict healing, ways to deal with conflict that can bring them closer instead of sort of tearing them apart. Part of it is talking about that, the healthy, keeping healthy distance and closeness, that oftentimes lesbians get merged and like really merged and don't know how to sort of know that you need to sort of be also independent. Two separate people come together, go move apart, and lesbians have a hard time with that dance. And so
most people do, actually.
Most people do.
Yeah.
And so sort of teaching people about those two states, which are sort of actually brain states, they're sort of biological, and helping to recognize them and learn what to do about that dance.
So we can give an example mm-hmm. of a couple that we were working with who actually each approached us separately, although then we found out that they were together. And they knew that each other had approached us. And one of them was really struggling because she felt like the other one didn't want to be their long distance, and the other one didn't want to be in contact with her as much, and she felt really abandoned, and it made her feel, you know, not valued, and, you know, but at the same time, she recognized that when she was just being clingy, it was forcing the other woman away. And then the other woman was talking to us about how she had had this really engulfing mother where, you know, everything was all about the mother and never about her. And, you know, so that was why she was feeling like this desperate need to protect her own space. Mm-hmm. And basically with the SCORE process, that was what we helped mm-hmm. each of them mm-hmm. with, to really take responsibility for their own feelings and recognize the earlier places in their lives where those feelings had come from, rather than just feeling like I'm not going to be able to feel better unless this person starts being different. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's where we get trapped. So the one woman was feeling like, you know, if she doesn't want to talk to me on the phone every day, I can't take it. And the other one was like, every day is way too much. You know, she needs to back off. And so for each of them, going deeper into the earlier places where these feelings came from and starting to be able to hold those feelings for themselves just created much more ease between them.
Okay. Good. Sounds good. So, more questions. So you have a couple that comes. Walk us through the steps. Do they see you, Michelle? Do they see you, Ruth? Do you see you together? How do you do it?
Well, we do, if we're working with them sort of in a personal way, we do all of our coaching two on one or two on two.
Together.
So we work together.
Yeah.
Because we have different perspectives, different skill sets, different, you know, ways of looking at things. And so it's... you know, it's useful to have us both working with people.
And I think Michelle's a little bit more left brain. I'm a little
yes.
bit more right brain. Mm. She's, you know, kind of masculine of center. I'm kind of feminine of center. You know, we have, you know, all kinds of differences in our backgrounds that we feel like it's just a strength. And then we also, you know, unlike therapy, the relationship coaching that we do, we can really talk a lot about our own experience. We can tell stories from our own lives rather mm-hmm. than having to, you know, hold back in mm-hmm. that way. Mm-hmm. So that's really exciting.
So can people work with you online? I mean, do mm-hmm. you have clients all over the place? Mm-hmm. Or can you tell us a little bit about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we work by Skype and by phone, and a lot of our classes are online. So we do Google Hangouts and webinars where, you know, people can see us and they can type in their questions. We have videos and audios that we make available to people who participate in the online programs. But we also have a live retreat coming up, actually May 23rd to 25th, right here in Petaluma at the Earthrise, the IONS mm-hmm. Retreat Center. Which is a beautiful place. Mm-hmm. And we're really excited about that because mm-hmm. we've been teaching half-day and one-day workshops. And just to have a whole weekend where we're in a beautiful place and we can just take the time to role play. That's what we were doing in our workshop today. We, you know, it's like, okay, so if we want to share vulnerably with somebody else, how do we do that in a way that they're going to be able to hear? And we were role playing, and it was so amazing.
It was really powerful, yeah.
The things that people were learning about themselves and each other and what communication worked and didn't was really moving.
Do you have your workshops for couples only and then for singles only, or they're mixed? Or
at this point, we did a couple of early workshops just for singles, but at this point it's mixed for singles and couples.
So when they role play, do couples role play with each other, or do you mix them up for the role
play?
We mixed them up today.
Okay. Yeah.
We mixed them up. Yeah. Yeah.
So that in itself is a vulnerable thing if you don't get to work with someone you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it might be, or it might have been more vulnerable if they were working. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's both. We do want to have some couples workshops uh-huh. at some point, and somebody in the class today actually was saying she really would like some mm-hmm. conscious dating workshops.
And at the retreat, there will be both singles and couples, and we will do some separate. Some part of the retreat will be separate with work with singles and work with couples.
Yeah. So, okay. So, so won't you give your information again for the audience to, to know how to get there? What, mm-hmm. what, you know,
the website is consciousgirlfriend.com. And, we have a ton of information on the website. If people sign up, for our mailing list, they receive a free booklet, which we call the 5 Keys to a Happy Lesbian Relationship. And there's a lot of other free material on the website, but there's also a lot of information about the coaching that we offer and the retreat and any other classes that we offer will be up on there soon as well.
And we also, on Facebook, we're just look under Conscious Girlfriend. You'll find us on Facebook, and we're Conscious GF on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Okay, before we close, I want to ask you one more question about... oh gosh, I just lost it. But anyways, we have the advice question, but I had something else, but I lost it. But it'll come back to me. So we like to close the show with advice. So I want you to think about the advice that you have for those couples and singles who are really wanting to be in relationship mm-hmm. and really want to be healthy and growing.
Mm-hmm.
What advice do you have for those people?
Well, I would say it's absolutely possible. And even if you've had troubled, you know, really painful, difficult relationships in the past, you can have a happy, fulfilling, joyful, lasting relationship if you learn the right skills and tools. And if you don't, you know, for most of us, it doesn't happen. It isn't just about finding the right person. You know, I mean, Michelle and I often feel like we are the right people for each other, but if we had met 10 years earlier than we did, we would not have been the right people for each other because we would have, you know, fit kind of like the lock and key into each other's painful patterns. So the advice is absolutely you can do it, and, you know, if it hasn't worked before for you, then you need new skills and tools, and that's what we are here to provide.
And my advice is, you won't be surprised, Ruth, that having compassion for ourselves and learning to love ourselves is the key, is a really important key to, mm-hmm. to being able to find lasting and fulfilling love.
Mm-hmm. Could you say one thing about that? How do you do that, Michelle? How do you do that?
Well, it's some. There's a practice that I've used. That's a metta practice. It's a compassion practice. It's a Buddhist, and it's a sort of a chant saying words over and over that sort of, you know, may I be happy, you know, may I live with ease. And I think it's also make
Jennifer Berzon, doesn't she sing that?
Oh, maybe she does. Yeah.
Oh.
May I know my true worth.
Yes.
May I love and be loved with ease. I like that version of
it. But it's also a kind of moment by moment decision, commitment to myself, to notice when I'm not loving myself, notice when I'm not being compassionate, and decide to do something different, decide to make the change to be compassionate with myself. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, as you know, Diana, as a therapist, there are tons of somatic tools that people can use. I mean, there are a lot of techniques now, because I think for so many people, the idea of, well, you have to love yourself, but I don't love myself, I'm stuck, feels like a real block. And so I just would want to say, we don't have time to go into all of it now, but there are lots of tools that I'm sure you use and that we use to help people kind of break through those barriers. Because those same barriers that keep us from loving ourselves actually usually keep us from letting love in from the outside too, even though we feel like we desperately want it. So that's another reason why it's so important to learn to dissolve those walls that we might have put up earlier in our lives.
Wow, beautiful. Thank you so much. I'm just thinking about fear and how fear plays a part in, you know, all of what you're talking about. It's that barrier, you know. So what you're offering is so, so important. You know, it's so hopeful that people can move through the barriers with your work that you're doing, that you're offering.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, and you're right about fear. I mean, it was amazing in one of our workshops where we were doing this role play, this listening exercise, that we had an observer, a listener, and a speaker, and the speaker was trying to communicate about something difficult, although, I mean, she wasn't actually in a relationship with the listener. And the woman that was listening got so scared that she actually didn't hear what the woman speaking said. And this was just a role play. So she learned so much about what happens for her in relationship, you know, and the other woman learned so much as well. Mm-hmm. So it's so important to find where these pockets of fear live in us and then to make use of the tools so that we can heal them and release them.
Well, thank you so much for being on our show tonight, both of you, Michelle Moraine and Ruth Schwartz.
It was wonderful to be here. Thank
Very
you so
delightful.
Much.
Delightful. Yeah.
And we wish you the best of luck in your adventures and your endeavors with Conscious Girlfriend and your books and your poetry. And we can find out all about you on your website, I'm thinking.
Yes, absolutely.
So
yes.
ConsciousGirlfriend.com.
Yes.
And just let us know if you ever want to come back and, you know, educate the audience anymore on relationship issues. Oh. We always love people to come and talk to us about that.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to tell the audience to remember that, because like Ruth and Michelle, you too can be living proof that through sharing your passions, you can use your creativity in another way to help the world. You too can be visible and vibrant in telling your story. And this is Living Proof with Diana Sheridan, and we'll be back next month. Until then.
Good night. So many answers, I don't know.
There are so many answers.
Realize that true question is how we grow.
True question is to grow.
Change, yeah. So do it today, yeah. 'Cause I can see it.